The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How high can you count? I see some young people starting in the pews. You just keep going, that's okay. As we gather to hear the word of God each week, one of the reasons we do so is to remind ourselves that we are people of God's promises. Which promises? All of them. Today we hear again about one very specific promise made to Abraham. One very specific promise made to a very old man and his wife. People who feared and loved God. People who obeyed God. And the promise was one of blessing. The promise was one of a small handful of very big covenants in the Old Testament. God said to Abram, "Look at the stars." I love being back on the prairie, by the way. When we lived in Wisconsin, we were too close to cities to see a lot of stars. But, you know, just go out of town a little ways, and at night you can go up and just see the depth of being surrounded by billions of stars. And so this was before any kind of urbanization. Kind of picture this chumminess of God, you know, puts his hand on Abram's back and says, "Look up. Count the stars. I dare you. Because you're going to have descendants as numerous as those stars." Now, Abram and his wife were way too old to have children, at least not without a lot of help from God. Despite that, Abram and Sarah believed the promise. And the Bible says God reckoned it to them as righteousness, which means basically by faith, the promise was activated. By faith, the promise was activated. Now, given all that hoopla about descendants, numerous as the stars, or numerous as the sands of the sea, God's talking to Abram again here and reminds him of the promise. And Abram says, "Sure, but it's going to have to be my slave's child because I don't have anything. And I'm still getting up there in age, and Sarah's no spring chicken either." And in the end, they had one child. Think about that. About being given that immense promise. Descendants you can't even count. And being elderly and not seeing where this is going, and then being given one child. And to top that off, later on, God drags Abram up the mountain with that one child and says, I want you to kill this child. Of course, we know that the Lord provided a solution there, and Isaac lived. But it was believing the promise, the faith of Abram and Sarah activated the promise. God's promises are always good. But God was telling Abram that your world vision is never going to be big enough to take in all the promise that I have for you. You're never going to see all those descendants. God didn't tell that to Abram. He just gave him one child. We have also been promised blessings from God, blessings upon blessings upon blessings, blessings as far-reaching as those offered to Abraham. And individually, I don't see any of us being included in a new version of Scripture because our blessings are any different than anybody else's. But the eternal promises of God are immeasurable as the stars. How high can you count? Because those are the promises God has in store for you. But like Abraham, we often look at what's most visible to us. So I want to fast forward you to this text in the New Testament from Luke about Jesus and the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are God's people. But their viewpoint of God's promises has mostly to do with the law. Keeping the law, being good followers, living up your end of the covenant. Because they didn't know about Jesus yet. And there's a few Pharisees here that are even warning Jesus about Herod. They said, Herod is out to kill you. And Jesus' response here is one of the more interesting things that we see in Scripture. Because his response to these Pharisees is basically, Herod is nothing. Herod is no threat. Now we know this is the Herod that killed John the Baptist. But Jesus is writing him off. He says, Herod's a fox. Maybe a better translation is weasel. Right? But then he carries that description into his care for God's people. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, that I could just wrap my wings around you like a mother hen covers her chicks. It's no accident he uses that fox and chicks image together. Herod might be a temporary threat to the chicken coop. But Jesus is not going to let that happen. He says, oh, I long to just wrap you up in my love, in my protection, in my care. But then he says, but you wouldn't. I've desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. What happens to a baby chicken when they run off on their own? They don't have much chance. But here is Jesus of the promise. The God who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies his people have called us together, continues to bring us together under the umbrella of all the promises. All of the promises. And sometimes we just have to be reminded of where our vision is versus where God's vision is. Are we nearsighted sometimes? Of course we are. Do we think maybe that we have an idea what the covenant promise is for us and God might have another idea? Of course. Of course. Jesus wants to gather up all the lost little chickies. You know, sometimes I know mainline churches worry, and we are no exception. You know, our pews aren't as full as they were in the 20s or the 50s or the 70s. But Abraham learned it, and Jesus taught it again. We live in today. We are called to be faithful today. Just today. And if God chooses to give us tomorrow, we're called to be faithful tomorrow too. And what we consider numbers and what God considers numbers might be two different things. But our call is to faithfulness. Because we are protected. We do have the warm embrace of our God supporting us. And so what we can do is be part of that ingathering of Jesus Christ. And where Christ is found is tending to those most vulnerable, most in need. As we look around our congregation, as we look around our community, we know that we are sitting next to someone who knows, or it might be someone who's, you know, recently been laid off, or who fears a job loss, or who doesn't have health insurance and is frightened about the possibility of illness. We know we're sitting next to people with chronic pain or who might be suffering from potentially life-threatening illnesses, from people who've lost a child or lost another loved one. As you look around you, to your brothers and sisters in this church and in your community, know that at least one brother or sister and probably more are struggling with an addiction problem. Or an addicted person, or someone who's being bullied, or someone who's being abused. The list goes on. We are called to fellow minister to a world of vulnerable chicks. And I'm not just talking women. The promise is, we may not see our reward in this lifetime, but the promise is we are gathered and nurtured by the one who makes all things possible. If you're feeling like a wounded chick today, take strength in that. If you know someone and you've been wondering, should I reach out to them or not? The answer is yes. Because our God is bigger than Herod the fox or Herod the weasel or any of the problems that life can throw at us. Our God is merciful and just and calls us to continue to allow ourselves to be gathered in, to invite others into the shelter of Christ's embrace. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in this Christ who loves us so. Amen.